Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, Don't Belittle the Spark.
The message today that God put on my heart a year ago was Don't Belittle the Spark. Don't belittle the spark. And as you can see, it's coming from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and Zechariah 4. It's actually 8 through 10, but 8 is just saying, these are the words of the Lord. So if you could open up 1 Timothy chapter 4, we will get started and jump right in. God, you are good. God, you are good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. When you have the word, please say, I have the word. Awesome. A section of this, if you have the New King James Version or other versions, it says the great apostasy. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good. Nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So that's why we pray over our food, you know? Pray before you eat. It's sanctified by prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane, old wise fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promises of the life that now is and of that which is to come. That is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Here's where I'm really going to pull the scripture out today. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Now, this is for all of us. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear. So if you can get Zechariah chapter 4, you can jump down to verse 8, and I'll read verses 8 through 9. That's a heavy chapter, isn't it? That is a heavy chapter. When you have the word, please say, I have the word. I'll wait a little bit. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. Alrighty, so if you don't know where Zechariah is, just go to Matthew and then go back two books. Do a little subtraction for Elder Kwesi in the math. Alrighty, so chapter 4, verse 8 in Zechariah says, Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this temple. His hand shall also finish it, Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. For who has despised the day of small things? Let us pray. Father God, I'm excited. You see my heart, it's leaping with joy. I'm so excited that I get to do this today. But more importantly, Father, it's an honor. And I need to come with respect to this altar, this sacred desk. I pray that these words would go down deep on good, rich soil. Pray that the hearers would apply the knowledge. They would apply the wisdom. As it's your word, Father, I'm just simply expounding on it, giving my commentary. So I thank you, Father, for using me this morning. I thank you for the word that is already blessed. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let no man despise you for your youth. Oh, I'm sorry. Could you two please, because that was blessing me tremendously. Please, you two continue. Minister Nay and Brother Eli, you guys can head on down. Let no man despise you for your youth, and despise not small beginnings. Timothy is being given instructions as a young man becoming a pastor to teach. This is why 1st and 2nd Timothy, along with Titus, are called the pastoral epistles. They're giving instructions on how to teach. 1 Timothy 4 can be broken down into three sections: the great apostasy, a good servant of Jesus Christ, and take heed to your ministry. Zechariah is on the other hand, working with an angel to help him encourage the people. The chapter is broken down like this: the awakening of the prophet to observe the vision. That's the first thing that happens in Zechariah. An angel wakes him up. Now, when I hear things like that, the first thing I think of, God, when is it my turn? When can I be woken up by an angel? It's not an if, it's when. Because this Bible for me is not a book. The Bible for me is a living, breathing person. Because in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So this is Jesus speaking to us constantly. You don't have to worry about the men and women who are being spoken of or who have written portions of it. We know that they were led by the Spirit. So the first section of Zechariah chapter 4 is an angel waking him up to give him encouragement, give him vision, give him direction, give him words. This is why it's important to get up when you are awakened out of your sleep and ask God, is he speaking to you? The next section is the vision itself, a candlestick and seven lamps, which were supplied with oil and kept burning immediately from the two olive trees that grew by it, one on either side. That just shows me like God's provision, right? No matter what, he's going to provide. Third section is the general encouragement hereby intended to be given to the builders of the temple to go on that good work, assuring them that it should be brought to perfection at last. Everyone say, God assures us. Assurance is not a depiction of time. So if he ensures something, it means it's going to happen. There's not a question. That's why when Adam and Eve sinned, Satan lied to them and tried to make them feel like, you're not going to really die. Because what happened when she bit the fruit? She didn't die. It was a lie. God said, you will surely die. So when God gives you something, take it to the bank. It's surety. And the fourth section of Zechariah 4 is the particular explication of the vision for the illustration of these assurances. So Why shouldn't we belittle the spark? What is the spark? July 27, 2018, I was writing down things that God was saying, and he was talking about the flicker of light. And we're supposed to be lights in this world, right? But many times we despise who we are. It says, let no one despise you for your youth. Don't despise small beginnings, but if we're not careful, we won't even have anybody doing it. We'll do it to ourselves. Let no man despise you for your youth. Despise not small beginnings. Funny story, my wife and I started working out, I want to say, as far as like together, what was that, about March last year, February, something like that? And at first she was like, hey babe, can you do one of this workout video with me? I'm a grown man, dog. I ain't walking no video. Because she was like, she got her dumbbells, they all cute. She got to work cute out, workout clothes on, and she's like, and I'm like, give me these 25s, I ain't doing that. So I got my own little workout regimen and I did my own thing, and I'm like, yeah, I can feel this, yeah. But I fell off. She kept working. And I humbled myself and I said, you know what? Let me work out with my wife and find out what this thing is about. It was a 40-minute full body workout. He was going from different size of weights. So it's a husband and wife duo, right? So he does something and she might do a lesser workout. So they're working. He's doing more, she's doing a little more, she's doing less, he's doing more, he's doing less. I was sweating like I haven't sweated since I went to Morgan State University in the marching band. I'm talking about full body glistening. I was complaining the whole time. I ain't gonna lie. Oh my gosh, would he stop with these encouraging words? Come on, tribe, you got it. Just work out. Just lift your weights and be quiet. Show me what to do. But I realized that it blessed her just as it was blessing me to work with her. And that's just a little aside for husbands. Sometimes she just needs us to do it with her. And so I looked at, as far as Timothy, this ain't the crux of the message, but it's where, for bodily exercise profits a little. Let's not forget that. Despise not small beginnings. We have to take care of the body, right? But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So as we're working together, I'm just learning about myself and I'm learning about my wife, and she's encouraging me. And so I'm thinking about that, as far as we belittle so much. We act like things are so insignificant. But if God is the creator of all things, everything he does is significant. Everything he does is significant. So I'm one of the youth ministers at this church, one of the youth leaders. So I need my students, Mariah, Kendall, Sahir, yeah, LJ. I need y'all to listen up, because this message is for you guys today. But it's not just for them. It's for all of us. I know sometimes we think when Pastor Lawrence is up here, it's not for us. We're younger. Not true. The Jewish tradition, they have this thing called the bar mitzvah. And it's pretty much saying that this child is now 13 and they are of the age of accountability. You know, back in the day, they were selected young to start families. They were selected young, but it's also because there was purpose given early. Josiah led ruling at how old? Right? What's different now is we tell the kids that their purpose is after college. And so the question is, well, what do I do from 12 to 18 to 22? What do I do for the next 10 years? As always, I'm so encouraged by the people in this house. Minister McCleary and Elder McCleary, they have their son in a body shop working, getting real experiences. And then JJ running around knocking home runs all over the place. They've got them doing things. And that can be said about so many other kids in this house. Their parents have them doing things so that they can find that niche. Because when you find those athletes and those the artists, the musicians, when you find the scientists, those that really know what they're supposed to do at a young age, they thrive. And it started with just a little spark of interest. Oh, you like that? That's a carburetor. Oh, really? You interested in that? Okay, let's put you in this. Let's see how you run with it. Let no man despise you for your youth. Despise not small beginnings. They are leading you on the path that God has given you. We just got finished with VBS, and the story of Joseph is so profound, y'all. One, I really don't find a place where you can find fault with Joseph in anything. Some people have said, well, he had a big mouth and he should have been telling his brothers. I question sometimes because that's what I do. I try to look at the Bible from all different angles. What if God was putting it on his heart to tell his brothers about his dream? Because we're told that he was cocky, and maybe he was a little bit. Maybe he could have said it a different way. But regardless, if I tell you that, hey, I don't know how to say this, but God gave me a dream that you're going to follow me and submit to my leadership when you're older, when we're older. That's hard to receive from anybody, because what we have in our minds is, no, I'm going to lead myself and I'm going to do me, myself, and I. So his brothers hated him for it. His father praised him and gave him more. He got this coat of many colors, and his brothers just despised him even more. It started with a dream. Joseph had a dream, y'all. That was his spark. And he ran with it. So Joseph went from favored among his father to a pit of rejection and slavery to ruling in Potiphar's house to the bottom of the prison. Still doing what though? Having dreams, interpreting dreams. So where did he end? Second in command of all of Egypt. So what's so amazing to me is, what can we do if we stop despising ourselves? Because honestly, y'all, it's not even people most of the time that's telling us we can't do something. It's ourselves telling us we can't do it. It's the enemy, because it's not just us. It's the enemy telling us why we can't do it. I'm reminded that we have three voices to pay attention to. God's voice, most importantly, our voice, the enemy's voice. Now, this is how your voice can work sometimes. It can work with the enemy or it can work with God. If you're in line with God's word, then you got Psalms coming on, where when you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. But that's when you're with God. Because when you start believing the lies of the devil, then you start getting from that place that Eve was in, questioning everything, and then bringing other people into your questioning and bringing people down. This is why it's so important for you to know who you are. It's so important for you to know who God is in you. Because if you don't know who God is in you, you're definitely not going to understand purpose. Because some of us understood purpose before we really got to know God. How is that possible? Because he made you. I will praise thee because for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Anybody that's ever thought about suicide, that scripture alone right there just lets you know you're worth living. You're worth not dying. Someone needs your story. Someone needs to hear your voice. So Joseph, we see on this roller coaster, and it brings me to Moses. Look at his spark. His spark came after he murdered somebody. He's looking at a burning bush, and he's being given instructions. But unlike Joseph, Moses immediately starts to doubt. God, I can't speak. I can't. I. If we take the camera off of us and put the lens back on God, we'll stop saying what we can't do. Because look what happens when Moses starts to believe the spark. Picking up sticks, putting them down, and turning into snakes. He's commanding the atmosphere. He's commanding storms. Hail is a type of storm, right? You get that? When it hails, right? He's commanding the earth. But another piece that Moses messed up on was inside of his spark and inside of his igniting the world. He messed up inside of doubting again and getting frustrated. And so as he's getting frustrated, what happens? He strikes the rock instead of speaks to the rock. We're familiar with these stories. At least I hope we're familiar with these stories. And I don't even like calling them stories. I want to call them these historical events because then that makes it more real. We hear story, then we think, ah, that ain't for me. It's not true. No, this is a historical, accurate account. It happened. So that's another example of someone who ran with their spark but then had issues along the way. Look at David. Now for me, David was technically lit the whole time. No pun intended. I can't stand lit. I'm lit. You lit. No, go get a vocabulary. All right. I'm messing. But David, he, at a young age, he's slaying lions and bears and whatever else that he decides to talk about. He's doing these things at a young age, knowing who he is in God. And what does he say when all the men are afraid to fight Goliath? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Y'all, I put myself in that story. That's me all day. 9'6", you 10 foot, you 12 foot. So, who are you? Got nothing on me because of who I serve. I've been hesitant to share this story because I didn't want to come off boasting and bragging, and so I've not shared it with anybody except, well, you'll hear it. Shared with Elder Kwesi and Pastor Lawrence. There was this night where we went to DJ's Warehouse, the restaurant in Towson. And every opportunity someone asks for help is an opportunity to minister for me. This homeless guy said, hey, you got money for the bus. He said, you got money for food. I was like, dang, I don't have any money on me. And we didn't have any leftovers, I think. My wife knew exactly what was about to happen because I left him there and I walked back over to her. I said, babe, please pray right now because I need clarity and I need focus. She said, I already know what you're about to ask. He said, can I have bus fare so I can ride the bus all night and sleep on the bus? Every single person in this house, if you slept under a roof, you're blessed. If you had a roof over your head, you're blessed. His name was Marvin. I said, Marvin, you need a place to stay. I'm nervous. I'm scared. Because in my single days, it's just me. So I can have faith for me all day. But now I'm watching out for this one. I'm protecting and guiding and covering this one. His countenance drops. Serious? Yes. And your flesh hopes they say no. But what happens when they say yes? Are we bold enough to ask that question? Let me be honest with you. Every thought that could ran through my head. Where's he going to sleep? He's dirty. Is he infected? Is he going to bring stuff into my house? What kind of spirit does he have? What do I need to combat? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Holy Spirit yanked me up and said, what does the word say? We're supposed to look out for the stranger. We're supposed to look out for the fatherless. We're supposed to look out for the widows. And that hasn't changed. So as the man of my house, and don't get me wrong, we have ADT, we have security measures and different things that go in place. I just know I could never raise a gun to anybody. So for me, what's the point? Because I'm not going to try to scare you off. That was me. And I'm not saying that has to be you. That's me. If the God I serve is this big, one of two things is probably going to happen. Maybe three. If this homeless man is out to no good, God's going to show me that it's not supposed to happen. If he allows something to happen, this is the hard one, somehow it's for my good. And then the third one that we forget to harp on, if nothing happens, this man is blessed. Well, he came and he stayed on the couch. I gave him clothes, food. I put some blankets and things down. And my wife, the whole ride home, just talking to him, encouraging him. He still has no idea how much that blessed me to this day. To follow me in such unfamiliar territory. When was that? Mid-July? Early July? When I tell you that spark for 4 weeks, miraculous in our lives, happening thing after thing after thing after thing. Pastor Lawrence prayed, but you guys didn't fully understand what that meant when my father and my brother were here. Weeks ago, beginning of August. That was a representation naturally of what I've been praying for over 2 decades. 2 decades. I was court ordered to spend a weekend with my father in Arkansas. My brother. Your spark is your prayer. There are things you're praying for. Don't give up on them. This faith walk is only going to go as far as you believe.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.